Turn in God's Word this evening to Ephesians chapter 6. The epistle, the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, or the church in Ephesus. Our text this evening is Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Let's read the chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren in love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you, with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. In sincerity, amen. The text this evening is verses 1 through 3 of Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Along with this portion of God's word, Heidelberg Catechism explains the fifth commandment. And we turn there now to the back of the Psalter to Lord's Day 39. Lord's Day 39 explains the fifth commandment, which is quoted by Paul here, Ephesians 6. Lord's Day 39 says this: what doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Children, we all, in some sense, can be called children, parents. But children, teenagers, young people, young adults, this morning God's word was mainly to parents, though there was much application to you as well. But tonight, God's word is especially to you children, as you live in the home of your parents, or even if you live with one foot in the home of your parents, so to speak, and one foot outside of the home of your parents, as you are on the way to college or are at college. Tonight we consider God's word to you under the authority of mother and father. There is application to all of us, for we all are under some sort of authority. But especially to children, along with the catechism tonight, we consider the fifth commandment. With the catechism, as you know, we have been considering the Ten Commandments, and up to this point we have finished the first table of the law. The first table of the law, as you know well, is about our love toward God directly. And we've seen that one of the main applications of the first four commandments is to worship. Of course, there's application of the first four commandments to all sorts of areas of our life, but especially to the formal corporate worship toward God. That we have no other gods before Him. We worship Him alone. That we have no images. That is, we do not worship God in any other way except the way in which He has commanded in His word. That we do not take His name in vain, but rather with heartfelt fear and reverence. And that we worship Him especially on the Sabbath day, the Lord's day. Today we come to the second table of the law, the second half of God's law, which is also about loving God. Do not forget that. The second table of the law does not exclude the love for God. But now, out of that love for God, the second table of the law commands us to love our neighbor. Children, your neighbor, yes, is anyone that you come into contact with. Jesus taught that in the parable of the Good Samaritan. But your neighbor is especially those who are closest to you. Your first neighbor is not the people who live down the street. Your first neighbor are the very ones, it's the very one that lives in your home, and lives with you, who are in the closest of relationships to you. And your first neighbor, chronologically speaking in your life, is your mother and father. And so to this neighbor, to these neighbors, your parents, God commands out of love for me. Love them. Honor them. That's the start. The first commandment in the second table of the law, which is the explanation of why Ephesians 6 verse 2 says the first commandment with promise. Here's the first in the second table of the law that shows us how to love God in our relationships with others. It's first in the second table of the law for the same reason that the first commandment at the start of the Ten Commandments is first. Because it is the most important in the second table. It is crucial. It is fundamental. It is foundational to obey the first commandment in the second table of honoring your father and mother in order for you to obey any of the other commandments which come after it. Now, children, it's not easy, is it, to honor your father and mother? It's not easy because you, like your parents, have a sinful nature and you feel the temptations of the flesh to disobey and dishonor. But it's not easy also because of this. Your parents themselves are sinners. In the context, children, Ephesians 6 verse 4, right after the command to you, Paul addresses parents, and particularly fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Do you know why Paul had to say that? Well, it's exactly because he knows parents are prone to provoke their children to wrath. And parents do provoke their children to wrath, to anger. No parent sitting here tonight can say, after years of child rearing, can say truthfully that they have never provoked their child. Rather, we have to admit that we have, again and again. And children, we as parents are sorry for that. We grieve over that. We feel guilt for that. And yet, in spite of the failures of us parents, God says, in spite of that, not only just that your parents say, God says, honor your father and your mother. Or as the Catechism explains, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to them and give them due obedience. Consider with me honoring parents who provoke, first the meaning, second the reasons, and finally the ability, the power or ability that you as children have. Children, keep your Bibles out. If you have shut your Bibles, open them back up, children. It should be a habit of ours to keep our Bibles out, open to the passage that is being preached on, because that is where we find the authority of God. It's not a mere man speaking, it's God speaking from His Word. And it's very important for you to notice that here in the inspired Scriptures, you find God speaking to you, and not a mere man, and not just your mom and dad. Two words you need to notice, two simple commands that you might think immediately, I understand what that means, but meditate, as we sang in Psalter 3:22, meditate for a little while on these two commands. Obey and honor. Those two words are the main two words in verse 1 and verse 2. Children, obey your parents. And then verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother. Let's talk about these two words. First, the word honor. Honor refers to your attitude in your heart. It starts inside of us. Honor is not, first of all, what we do, but honor is what we have inside of us. And this Greek word for honor gives us a picture, children. Think of this picture. It is a picture that comes up in the marketplace or in a business that your fathers might have. When a businessman wants to sell something, like a car or a piece of jewelry or a house, that businessman puts a price tag. You've seen that in store windows, perhaps. A price tag is hung or attached to the piece of merchandise. And the price tag on a golden necklace, for example, says $700. Or the price tag on a car says $20,000. Or a price tag on a house says $200,000. That's the picture of the word honor here. Literally, it's the idea of putting a price or value to an object or person. It is to put a high price. To place a high value, not literally now, you're not actually writing something on a piece of paper or a price tag and attaching it to the object, but in your mind and heart, you are putting a value upon your parents. What would that imaginary price tag say if they were hanging around both your parents? Children, teenagers, what number would you put on it? The temptation for us as we get older and older is to have that price decrease. It should be high. To honor is to have this high value of your mother and father. More valuable than all the money in the world put together and all the things and all the other people besides your wife or husband when you grow up, and besides God, your parent should have that high price or value. And the word honor is related to the word submit. Notice in the context, in the previous chapter, Ephesians 5:21, you find that verse, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Children, there are people you need to submit to, and first it's to your parents. This is part of honor. This is your mindset. And it's to put yourself, to set yourself, submit means, under your parents. And I'll go back to the previous illustration we just made. It is to set your price. You had a price on yourself. It is to set your price as lower than the price of mother and father. We're supposed to honor our parents in that way, but of course, that's going to show itself in actions, many actions. It's going to show itself in how we speak to them, that the tone that we have as we talk to them. It is to be kind. It's to be polite. There's supposed to be a respectful tone. We treat them with love, with faithfulness, as the Catechism puts it, fidelity, with a faithfulness. We don't speak against them. We don't gossip about them behind their back. We honor them with our words to one another and to them. Here's the most important action that flows out of our honor to mom and dad. We obey. That's the second word in the Word of God. Children, obey your parents. That word also has a picture. Think about answering the door at 11 p.m. at night when your parents are not at home. It's dark outside, the curtains are closed, you don't have a peephole on your door, and all of a sudden you hear a light knock or some sounds outside the front door. And your heart immediately starts to pound, and you don't know whether you should go and answer the door right away. Perhaps it's a friend, someone in trouble, or maybe it's a robber, someone that would hurt you if you were to open the door for them. And so you go to the door, and as quietly as possible, you listen. You don't make a sound because you don't want the other person on the other side to know that you're around, but you listen quietly, intently, to the voices that are outside, to whether someone is trying to jimmy and crack open the lock, and you're ready. That after you've listened, you're ready to do an immediate action, whether it's to call the police or to open the door and embrace your friend. That's the picture that this word draws to our mind. To obey literally means to listen upon, as though you are a porter or a doorkeeper listening to what is going on outside. That has some major applications, children. The first part of obedience is not going to do what you think your parents have called you to do. The first part of obedience is to listen intently to the full explanation of what they require of you. Just as that doorkeeper, you don't want to miss anything. And then, with an immediacy about it, after hearing it all, you seek to do it as your parents have commanded. Honor, it has set a high price above the price that you set for yourself, and obey. Listen carefully before you do. That's the simple command of God's word. Who are you supposed to obey? A simple fact, both mother and father. And all of us should be making the application here, adults, to those in government over us, to the federal government, to the state government, to the policeman, to the elders and deacons in our church, to our husbands as wives, but now to children particularly, to both mother and father. A simple point, but that needs to be made clear, children, because it is the case in every household. It is the case in almost every household that you find it easier to obey one parent than the other. Perhaps, children, you value your mother because you value her understanding of your feelings. She is perhaps more gentle with you. She is less busy and is there for you more. And so you see it is easier to obey and honor her. Or maybe you value your dad because he is stronger. He's able to do a lot for you to solve your problems. Or you value one more than the other because you notice more sins in one. God's word comes to you. You are to honor and obey both. Both. And part of that is not pitting your mother against your father, trying to get them to be against each other, but seeking to honor and obey both at the same time. And here's a question that children ask and should ask. Is there ever a time then? And you're not asking me. You're asking God's word. You're asking God. Is there ever a time that we may dishonor or disobey our parents? And the Bible never gives a time we may dishonor. God never says you may ever dishonor your mother or father. And you must always obey them. With one exception, and only one exception. And that is, you may disobey, more than that, you must disobey your parents in one situation, one kind, when they command you to sin. Then with an honor of mother and father, you must say no. Because my God, in His Word, says no. With Peter, we confess we must obey God rather than man. If your parents tell you to steal, you say no. God says clearly, thou shalt not steal. If they tell you to lie, say no. God calls us to tell the truth. Lying is of the devil. If they tell you to watch something on television that is impure, you are to tell them, no, God calls us not to enjoy the things of this world. If they tell you to do things with your body that you know are wrong, it's abuse, you say no, so that that abuse stops and you get help when you need it. Children, when parents command you to sin, you are commanded by your God who loves you to say no. Now, this is different. If sinful parents if sinful parents command you to do what is right, if sinful parents command you to do what is not explicitly commanded in the Bible, but that's not sin, then as difficult as it is, you are yet called to honor and obey. Parents do sin. They do provoke. We consider that one word in verse 4. Provoke. This is a sin of parents. It's too frequent a sin of us parents. It makes it harder for our children to honor and obey us. To provoke is to come alongside our children. It's in the word provoke. To come alongside and do something that will test their patience, that will push their buttons, that will exasperate them. And it comes out of your sinful attitude, parents. It comes out of your selfishness. Now, the word does not refer to parents who do the right thing for the good of their child, and the child becomes angry because they're required to obey God's law. And that's not the provoking we're talking about. That's tough love. And children, you need to remember that your parents are, many of them are, looking out for your good and call you to do what is good for you. But now the word provoke refers to selfish parents who in their self-interest treat their children as though they're slaves, ordering them around to make the parents' life more easy, so much so that the children are exasperated. Parents provoke their children when they divorce on unbiblical grounds or live as though they are divorced, though within the same walls, with constant conflict that provokes their children to anger. This provoking happens when there is this demand of honor and respect from their children, and then the children notice the parents dishonoring and disobeying the authorities above them, so that there is an inconsistency, a hypocrisy, when they command their children to obey God's commandments. This provoking happens when parents are continually critical, nagging, judgmental. There's never anything positive. There's a cruel, discouraging, and a bringing down and demeaning of children. And it provokes them to anger. And there are many ways that parents may and sadly do this. Children, even when they do, God's word calls you. Bear with them. Continue to honor and obey them. As the Catechism puts it, bear patiently with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Children, you may not blame your parents for your dishonor and your disobedience. Yes, they can make it difficult for you, but they are not the cause. They are the occasion, but they are not the cause of your dishonor or disobedience, your sin. It is your sin when you react to their provoking of you. Teenagers might ask, when can we stop? When can we stop this honoring and this obeying? The Bible doesn't say at 18. The Bible doesn't say even when you move out of the house. And the Bible doesn't say even when you get married. Now, of course, when you move out, practically speaking, your parents are not going to give the demands they used to give. Practically speaking, wise parents, godly parents, will not give such demands. Yet honor, especially honor for your parents, continues throughout your life, so that you care for your parents when they reach an elderly age, so that you take care of them not only physically, but spiritually, and you love them and are faithful. Remember that word, fidelity, faithful to them until the day they die. Why? What are the reasons? Second point, children, what are the reasons that we do this? There are two main reasons that God's word gives us. Two main categories. First, we honor and we obey our parents even if they are sinful. First, because it is right, God's word says. And secondly, because God will reward us for it. Those are the two main categories of reasons which Paul gives here. It's right, Paul says first. Literally, righteous. That seems straightforward. God, the righteous God, says this is right. Therefore, it's right. We must obey our parents because God said so. The simplest reason you can give, but a very good reason to remember. Obey your parents. It is right. But we have to ask the question, don't we, children? Isn't that obvious? Why does Paul seem to waste room here to write, it is right, when everyone knows it is right? Why does he speak of this? This is right. Well, it could be various explanations, but while it is obvious, children, that it is right, as you sit here in church and you think about obeying and honoring outside of the situations of life, you say, yes, of course, it's right. God says so. But tonight, when it's time to go to bed, and you want to stay up, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. My older siblings get to stay up. Other of my friends I know get to do this. Or when our parents say no to our request for candy or a toy or to go to a friend's house, and they say, no questions asked, no buts about it, obey me. No, you may not. Then we are put, children, in the situation when it doesn't feel right, and this is what we say, it's not fair. It's not fair. And we mean by that, it's not right. It's not right. It's not righteous of our parent to do that to us. And God says, it is right. It is right. When other teenagers are disobeying and dishonoring their parents, and it seems that's the way we're supposed to do it. Everyone dishonors and disobeys their parents, especially in the teenage years. It must be wrong to dishonor and disobey. It feels that way. And God's word says, within the situations when it doesn't seem fair, no, it is. It is right. It's right because God has said so. Is right, secondly, because God has given something called authority to our parents. He's given authority to the government. He's given authority to the church over her members. He's given authority to employers over employees. He's given authority to parents over their children. Authority is, simply put, the right to tell you what to do. The right to tell you what to do. God has all authority. If you stood before God today and he told you something, you would say, God, you have the right to tell me what to do. I must do everything you tell me what to do. God has taken the authority that he has, and you know he has it. And he said, now I give to mother and father, my authority. It's still mine, but I give it to mom and dad to use over their children, so that when parents tell you, do your chores, clean your room, pick up your toys, you must be home at 11 p.m. It's your curfew tonight. You may not date her or him. Then this is God speaking through your parents, because they have his authority. It's right because God says so. It's right because parents have God's authority. And it's right, thirdly, because it's the right way to show thanks. Remember, children, obedience to every single one of God's commandments comes out of a heart of thanks. This is the section in the catechism that we are in. We are not obeying in order to earn our righteousness before God. That's not what it means when it says this is right or righteous. To earn righteousness before God, to earn our salvation. But it's because we are thankful for what Jesus has done. We come back to the gospel again, children. We must. We have to. This is the heart of it. This is where you get your power, your motivation to do anything. This is how you can have the ability. We'll get to that more later. But this is how you have the ability to obey your parents. You have to remember, my Jesus, my Lord, God Himself, the Son of God, came and He humbled Himself for me. And He actually, as God, the Son of God, submitted, honored, obeyed earthly parents, human beings. That is, He set Himself under the value of Mary and Joseph. And then suffered under them and under the political government of His day. So that we could be saved and have a righteous standing before God and have eternal life in heaven forever. He has given us this wondrous salvation. And on top of that, children, He's given us so many blessings. Much more than many others have in this world. Of earthly possessions and things. And a church to be in. And for many of us, godly parents. Now in thanks, what is the right response of thanks? We'll say it's to obey God. To obey God first. On the second table of the law, He says, honor and obey your parents. That's what I delight in. That's how I see your thanks. Honoring and obeying is not only right, but another reason, the second category for reason that we obey is God promises to reward us. Promises to reward us. Now, we can think of it negatively, and we should start briefly. There are bad rewards that will come upon those who do not honor and obey their parents. The list of bad rewards is too lengthy for me to describe. The Bible gives very graphic descriptions that startle us when it refers to examples of children who did not honor and obey their parents. One example is in Exodus 21, 15 and 17. When a child hit or smote his mother or father, or when a child cursed, spoke against his mother or father, and that happened where other people witnessed it, the penalty, the consequence, or the reward was death. That's how serious God took and still takes this honor and this obedience of children. Proverbs 30, verse 17, is one of the most striking proverbs which God gives about honoring parents. The eye that mocketh at his father, not even the words or the lips, but the eye that looks in mockery at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, not merely disobeys, but hates obeying his mother. The consequence or the bad reward is this: the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, or pick that eye out, and the young eagles shall eat it. And that's meant to shake us. What? And God gives this description, this gross description, to make us realize this is not a light thing, children, to dishonor or disobey mom and dad. He might not do the exact consequences that we find in the Old Testament, in Exodus and Proverbs, but there are very serious consequences that will result. But the emphasis of Ephesians is the good reward for those who do honor and obey their parents. We will not do so perfectly, but those who seek to, God promises great rewards. Verse 2 says, it is the first commandment with promise. And there's some debate as to what that exactly means. But to understand that, we have to do a little separation of this phrase of two ideas. It is the first commandment. We've talked about that. The first and the second table of law is the most important in that second table. And then now, it has a promise. It has a promise of a reward attached to it. God, you see, children, is a merciful God. He realizes, you children, teenagers, he realizes, he understands that it is hard. It is difficult. And so, in order to help us with this obedience and honor and the difficult situations of life, he holds out a reward. Not a reward that you merit, but a reward of grace. Remember, rewards aren't because you earn it. You may never go up to God and hold out your hand and say, I deserve it. Give this reward to me. That's a reward of merit. But it's a reward of grace. Even though you do it imperfectly, God says, I will reward you in my mercy and grace. And this is the reward. Paul quotes Deuteronomy 5, a commandment there, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. That it may be well with thee means it's good for you to obey. That's with every commandment of God. Obedience to any commandment of God is good for you. Feel good at the time. But in the future tense, it will go well with you. Children, think about your future on this earth, first of all. Future in this life. God often rewards children who obey and honor their parents in this life even. If you do not honor and obey your parents, if you were never exercised and trained in it, do you realize how difficult life will be for you? Think about a child who is spoiled, who has never been required to honor and obey his mom and dad. You know what happens to a child who is spoiled, who never has to obey and honor his mom and dad? Well, he gets out of the home, and he has his employer to obey and honor. He has his president to obey and honor. He has his policeman to obey and honor. He has a host of other people to obey and honor. And he doesn't know how. He falls flat on his face in society. And more than that, without being able to honor and obey, not being trained in that, he or she has not learned to honor and obey his heavenly Father. And that is why there comes, as a result, the disobedience to the 6th, 7th, 8th, the 9th, and the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th commandment. It will not go well with you in the rest of your life if you disobey and honor, but it will go well with you. You learn the lessons of obeying and honoring difficult people to obey and honor. That's the good that comes out of it. That is a very useful tool, practically speaking, in your life in the future. But now, the specific good, the future good, which verse 3 in the law especially brings out, is that you may live long, not just on the earth in this life, but that you may live long in the new heavens and the new earth. That's the idea. Some children who do honor and obey do not live long in this earthly life, in this physical earthly life now, but they do. God fulfills his promise to give them the new heavens and the new earth for a long, long time, as the commandment says. For eternity. That's the reward. Children, this is hard. It's a difficult time sometimes to honor and obey. I understand that what takes place within the walls of your home is very different for some of you from what takes place outside of the walls of your home when everyone is looking. There are times when we parents get out of control to provoke. We're not gentle. And home life can be a war zone. I pray it is not that way for most of you. But it may be. That is your trial. You are allowed to get help from your pastor and elders when there is a threat to your safety. And yet at the same time, God in his word says, honor and obey. And that is difficult. The most mature of Christians may not be able to honor and obey your parents. But you are able by the Lord's grace. That's why we come back to verse 1. And that phrase, in the Lord, is so important, children. It might seem as a little phrase, but this is so important. In the Lord doesn't refer to the parents who are in the Lord, though hopefully they are in the Lord. They are believers in the Lord. But in the Lord here refers to you, children. Paul is confident. He's confident in the truth of God's covenant with believers and their children in the church. You are in the Lord, children. Now obey as those in the Lord. Honor as those in the Lord. In the Lord means join to Jesus. Join to Jesus. You are in relationship to him. You are joined to the powerful Lord of heaven and earth, and by his power you can do this. You are in Christ. You saw the sacrament of baptism this morning, and that relates here. You are washed by his blood. Not only, you are washed by his Holy Spirit. Your parents in pride may not always treat you as spiritual equals to them. In fact, they may see you as underneath them. They may demean you, but you have the same Christ as your parents. You have the same Lord as the most mature of believers. You have the same Spirit in you, and by his power, you are able to honor and obey, even when they provoke you. Jesus, think about Jesus' power. He was able to honor and obey his sinful parents, Mary and Joseph. And then think about this. When Jesus came, his heavenly parent, that is, his Father, forsook him. His heavenly Father poured out a literal hell upon his soul. And yet Jesus, as your Lord, was able to continue while he faced this wrath of Father to honor him and to obey until he died. By his power, by that same power, because you are in that Lord, you can obey and honor. You can obey and honor the father and the mother that may forsake you. Remember as you do, children, that your Heavenly Father never forsakes you. It is a lie of Satan. It is a lie of Satan to say that since my father on earth, or my mother on earth, forsakes me and sins against me, therefore my Father in heaven does too. That is a lie of Satan to not believe it. Your parents do not accurately reflect Father in heaven all the time. But your Father's favor toward you continues, even in the midst of the most sorrowful situations in the home. Children, teenagers, believe in your Father in heaven, in his grace in Jesus Christ. For he has forsaken his only Son, that he may never forsake you. And he is working through your difficult life of obedience and honor to prepare you for a long life in the new heavens and the new earth. In love and thanks to this God, to this good God, set a high price on your parents, that is, honor them. Listen carefully first, that is, obey them. For even if it does not seem right at times, God says, in his word, it is right. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thou art our parent, first of all, and we cling to that truth even before our earthly father or earthly mother. We love thee because thou hast first loved us. Praise thee for making us thy beloved children. We now desire to honor and to obey thee by our honor and obedience of our earthly authorities in this life. Grant us that patience that we need. Grant us the endurance. Grant us thy strength, that is, the strength of Jesus Christ, our Lord himself. Do that by his Spirit in us. And help us as parents that we might reflect the love of our Father even in our discipline, never provoking our children to wrath, so that we might make it easier for our children to obey God and to enjoy the rewards that he promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.